Support comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign. This winter, Strategic Farm Marketing is holding risk management seminars near you. A complete list of meeting dates and locations can be found at sfarmmarketing.com.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to Illinois Public Media. This is Commodity Week. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Our panelists for the program today include Jim McCormick from Allendale out of McHenry, Illinois, Jerry Goodell from the Price Futures Group in Chicago, Illinois, and Sherman Newland of Risk Management Commodities out of Hudsonville, Illinois. Gentlemen, thank you so much for being with us this afternoon. I think, Jerry Goodell, I'll start with you there at the Price Futures Group in Chicago. I wonder what you thought about the brand new yields that USDA brought out for the state of Illinois, 201 bushels to the acre, and the higher corn yield nationwide.
Gotta say, test weight is the king this year. Unbelievable, also, just a confirmation of the fact that we went up in these states and the nationwide total on beans yields went down. I thought many of these crops were in a similar field, similar range, where we got a 3-bushel down on beans and a 2-month decline back on the beans down of, I guess, about 4 or 5 tenths. And then on the corn, we go up over a bushel. So, makes you wonder. But in reality, test weights are was a real feature this year. We all know that, and that's really been the factor in there. But the interesting thing is that our carryover stocks really didn't change all that much in corn or soybeans, either one.
Yeah, speaking of the soybeans, Mr. Newland out of Hudsonville, Illinois, and Risk Management Commodities, they managed to rally after the USDA report was released. This despite the fact that the soybean ending stocks for the current marketing year were raised, now sitting at, what, $470 million. I'm wondering why that was the case.
They lowered the yield 0.4 of a bushel. I think that was a little bit of a surprise to some of the trade, and the fact that maybe the carryout actually didn't have a 5 in front of it, I think probably helped to some degree with it. So it was a nice move on the charts. It was what I'd look at as a reversal. Made new lows and then came back and closed higher the way we did. Exports were raised a little bit, or cut up a little bit, 65 million bushels. So that was part of the numbers today in the bean market. But overall, it was a good day for the beans. Nice to see. I mean, meal came back and had a nice little punch up with everything. Global stocks, rose to 98.57 million bushels, just a little bit. I mean, so not a, I guess the fact that we had a lot of funds that were already short the bean market, and we didn't come in extremely, larger as far as the carryout goes. So I think you just had a nice little short covering going on in the bean market.
And I'm wondering as well, Mr. McCormick, what you thought of the numbers and the ending stocks for all three, corn, soybeans, and wheat. There are $2.477 billion for corn, $470 million, as we already said, for the soybeans, and the wheat now at $989. All three of them were raised this month by USDA.
Yeah, the bean number, let me start with the bean number. The bean number kind of came in at close to what we thought it would be at. We were figuring here they would have to cut. The exports are so far behind the current pace we're figuring. They, if they don't speed up the export pace, we could be off by as much as 300 million bushels when it's all said and done. I mean, our working number is about 100 million cut in exports. So we figure the 65 million they did is a good start. We've got more to go, but the government chose to walk it down. I don't think they want to shock the market. I think, the market had a classic kind of sell the rumor, buy the fact reaction more than anything else. But I've been telling my customers all day today, you got to take advantage of this. The fact of the matter is 470 million bushels is not a tight supply at all. The Brazil crop is getting bigger, so that's a little bit negative. The corn number, I think that was probably the biggest surprise to me, was the fact that they, the feed number, to adjust the feed number down a little bit. We're only feeding 1.4% more than we did a year ago, even though, the cattle on feed number suggests we have 5% more cattle on. We've been feeding 2% more pork, 2% more chickens hatched in the last three quarters. So that was a surprise to see that corn number bump up, and a little bit disappointing because I was hoping for a little bit bullish feed number to try to give a reason for the funds to get out of this massive short and give us a little bit of a bounce.
And soybeans, are you saying they need to take advantage of it today, old crop and new crop both, and they have, I suppose, until Tuesday or sometime?
Well, today or just in the next, or if not today, you know, if they can't, a lot of elevators may be closed, not the marks closed. But yes, I think in the long run, because if you look at the numbers, like I said, they've cut 65 million. Like I said, we figure they get another 45, 50. That's probably going to hang a 500 million carry out at. Our models, Todd, suggest with the carryout number we've got right now today in beans at 470, that puts economic value of beans right here about 949. If you push that carryout to 550 million, which I don't think is out of the question in the long run, that'll push your economic value closer to $9 beans. So I think if producers got these beans, they're looking at planting more beans potentially next year. If we get this rally, kind of a relief rally on a bearish ending stock number in the big picture, take advantage of it.
Sherman, I'm not so sure this is the story you're telling. What do you think?
Well, I mean, I'm not going to disagree. We're not going to run out of anything anytime soon. It was just a nice technical reaction, like he said, you know, by the rumor, sell the fact type thing, or sell the rumor, buy the fact type thing. So it was nice. I mean, we are watching, you know, this new crop price around this 985. It'd be nice to get it to 990 to $10. I don't know if that's doable. But when we look at some of the bigger pictures, I mean, I think wheat kind of pulled down corn a little bit today. But when you look at some of the bigger pictures, you got the dollar making new lows again today, lowest we've been since September. You got crude oil up 60 cents. I mean, highest we've been here for a couple of years now in crude. I mean, I guess commodities in general, a lot of the other commodities are starting to work higher. So I guess I'm not ruling out the fact just because of that, maybe that the grains and the beans and the meal and everything else can eventually maybe start to work their way up. We've got a large number of shorts in all three of these markets, in all the markets, you know, corn, beans, and wheat. And maybe, you know, maybe they can find some reason to start to cover those positions. I mean, they don't find it fundamentally, you know, from the supply standpoint, but maybe from the outside markets, the funds can look at that and say, maybe we need to, you know, cover our shorts here a little bit.
Jerry, can the outside markets really carry the commodities?
Oh, there are definitely a psychological advantage at times, and that's in the market. And particularly, I think today it was a factor. Excuse me. I think the whisper campaign that we've all alluded to here in this conversation about it's going to be some number over 500, 100 million for sure, that kind of stuff. We broke 40 cents this week alone on that whisper campaign. And the beans, despite the fact we had a 472, you know, against a 470 or 477, whatever number you like, look at. That, to me, was a huge factor. Now, and most of this popped in the last few minutes of the session when I think enough people realized that the beans were not going to slip away. And they sold a bunch of stuff this week. You're talking about our commitment of traders that we looked at in corn on Monday this week and stopped going down on that, particularly after it came through. All of a sudden, they said, gee, Merry Christmas, you know. Now, do I agree that this is going to be a huge turnaround? Weather is a huge factor in this thing going forward. I think Argentina is in a situation where they did take it down 1 million metric tons. Delayed plantings, I think, is part of the game there. Some issues of dryness. Also, we have the other side of the coin. We are potentially going to go up somehow more than the 1 million metric tons today that they put on the crop. Is it a 10? 110? Is it a 114? Hard to say. The one thing we got to remember is that, yes, Mato Grosso's got a pretty good crop back together, but it is delayed, and it's going to have an impact on corn as we go along somewhere along the line. But on the other side of the coin, Rio Grande do Sul is about as dry as in the northern areas of Argentina is, and so they're going to have some issues that are going to maybe slow down a little bit of these numbers in Brazil. But in general, as I said before, the numbers today in corn and wheat didn't change that much, or corn and soybeans didn't change that much. The big number was the big lack of decline, actually, in wheat plantings, which is the second time in, what, 20 years, 25 years, we haven't been the number from the January report being less than expected. And that's kind of startling. You look at some of those numbers.
Yeah, I was thinking about that number, actually, and I just had pulled it up in front of me as you were finishing up your thoughts there. Jim McCormick, that number now at 32.6 million acres. This is the winter wheat seedings report that came out from the United States Department of Agriculture today, is what? About 1.3 million more acres than what the trade was expecting. However, it's almost exactly what USDA and says farmers planted last year. How does this impact the market in for wheat in specific and generally across the board?
Well, I think for wheat, what it tells you is maybe some producers are moving, you know, in some of these areas to try to plant the cheaper crop. I mean, we know the balance sheets are very, very tight for producers across the Midwest, and wheat's a cheap crop to plant. So maybe it chose to go that route, which will be a little bit of a drag. Now we'll just see how much winter kill or this dryness issue we're facing down there, how that plays out this spring. But in the big picture, what it does also mean is you got 1.3 million less acres of potential corn and beans that the trade was thinking was going to go in that's not going to go in. So it shrinks that pool of acres around a little bit. And I think that may be where we get an interesting story potentially going into the spring. We've got a lot of customers up in the northern Corn Belt, the Dakotas primarily, telling us they're looking at planting spring wheat. They look at the spring wheat price around $6.25, looking at cash corn sub $3, you know, fall cash corn forward contract at $2.70. They're a little bit away from corn and into the spring, you know, into the wheat. So I think that helps give corn maybe a little bit of a rally in acreage. The other thing we haven't brought up is cotton. The cotton price, you know, over 80 cents. I think that's getting some attention down south of the Mason-Dixon line. I think you're going to see some more cotton acres, and that's also going to pull away from some of this corn and bean ground potentially. So I think that may be the story for the acres in the long run with the wheat is, you know, showing people are maybe diversifying back away from that corn and beans after years and years and years of expanding into those two commodities.
Oh, yeah, the wheat. I mean, I go along with everything you just said on the acres, and you know, we're expecting more cotton acres. We're expecting less corn acres in the south. You know, we are aware of the dryness out west and on the wheat. So, I, you know, take today with a grain of salt as far as what the market did downward-wise, I mean, in the wheat market. But exports, yeah, I mean, we've been talking about exports here in-house locally for quite a while on the beans and how far they've been falling behind, and you know, they're going to push that carry out higher. Brazil's been stepping up, you know, South America, China, though, I mean, they're going to keep, you know, they're going to keep importing beans from somewhere. Right now it is going to South America, so the demand for beans is still going to be there. So it's just a matter of, I think, now seeing what the weather does in South America on what the beans are going to do. Because, you know, exports are definitely lagging from what they should be with everything.
In your area, do you see more wheat acres or not?
Us here? No, no,
no.
Not really.
And have you traveled southern Illinois enough to know?
Yeah, I think you go farther south in Illinois, in southern Illinois, then you get into Kentucky and some of those areas. Yeah, there's more acres planted. You know, maybe a little bit more than usual, but that's where most of your wheat acres are. I mean, around locally, no, guys just aren't really planting wheat. I mean, they're just, there's no money in it.
And that's a disease problem as much as anything else for the soft red winter wheat, right?
For us?
Yes.
No, not necessarily disease. It just, there just hasn't been that much money. I mean, you know, with price wheat where it is, you know, price of seed wheat and all the inputs, you know, it's a high management if you want it to be type of a crop. You need to spread your nitrogen a couple of different times. You got to spray it a couple of different times. I mean, it costs, you know, quite a bit to put it out there. So you really need to hit that 100 bushel mark, you know, for it to work. And it just doesn't really pay when you can plant beans at such a, you know, lower cost and get a lot more out of them.
Yeah, I suppose geographically it depends on where you are and how much moisture you get. Of course, the further out west you go, the drier it is, and that crop is more likely to be in shape in some of those areas. Well, let's get to some of your marketing thoughts. I think Jim McCormick will start with you. You've already told us that you believe that producers ought to be marketing soybeans, but give me some more details of where you think they should be at this point, old and new crop.
Well, right now, I would say, like, look at these March beans. They're trading here at 960. We had a nice key reversal. If I can get them back up toward the 986 level, it's roughly the 200-day moving average. The 979 level, the 200-day moving average, this week's highs, I would tell producers just keep pushing it out. If they want to play the weather play, buy a cheap option. I think the deck stacked against the bulls and the beans. New crop beans, I'm encouraging guys, anywhere up near 10, consider forward selling. Use an option strategy. I've had several customers look at, like, buying a $10 put, selling like a $9 put and $11 call, just to kind of, at least put a floor under this. Just with, like I said, we think the deck stacked against us. On the corn, I'm a little bit more optimistic. Like I said, I was a little bit disappointed with the feed number, but I think we could, with the funds being short, the CFTC report showed they added another 23,000, almost 24,000 contracts that just came out this afternoon. That's putting them short almost 222,000 contracts, just shy of a short record. I think there's a decent shot we get a little weather play. The acreage shift, we can get a bounce of corn, maybe 20, 30 cents. But I think you get March corn back up near 375, new crop corn up near 4, you probably will be looking at trying to get some protection or get some of this grain sold and kind of be in a little bit of defensive posture. Long range, Todd, I agree like some of the other gentlemen. You look at these outside markets, I think you're seeing some inflation creep in, the cotton, the crude oil. I think that if you ever get a story in the long run, I think the money will pour into these markets. The cattle market was a classic example this summer. It went a lot higher than most analysts ever thought it would, and a lot of it was tribute to funds just plowing money into it because it worked. I think if you can get that going to grains, this outside markets being lifted will just encourage that, but we've got to get a spark. So in the near term, margins are tight. When you can lock in profits, the producers need to do it.
Jerry Goodell, your best bet for marketing advice?
Well, I agree that we need to give ourselves a little bounce here in these beans after the reversal that we did get today. Kind of poking myself up here in this March closer to that 980 kind of number per se, and at the same time getting some initial new crop stuff out there in the 10 or 15% area. We can bump up against $10. Definitely something to keep in mind. I've been around 60% sold and looking to try to get higher. I missed this last rally by a dime on the bounce, which is, at this point makes you feel a little bit less enthusiastic about how much a rally you're going to get. On the corn side of things, wow, the ideas that we talked about on this wheat number not being there and people looking at cotton and that. And interestingly enough, when you guys were talking about the Eastern Corn Belt here, all three states, the Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, had 30,000 to 40,000 in Illinois and Indiana, and it was like 80,000 in Ohio, noted by the USDA. The one that really surprised me was the soft red on the expansion. That was a higher number year over year. We were actually slightly lower in winter wheat in that, but it's going to end up creeping into these things. So it's given us a little bit more of an opportunity longer term on these planted acres on corn and soybeans. I got to do some sitting down and looking over this stuff. I'm supposed to do an outlook in Pittsfield next Thursday, so that's going to, question's got to come up, and I've got to figure out the whole lay of the ground there with all these different moving parts that we just come up with today from that standpoint. So, but in reality, on the corn side, this basis levels is strong, and it's starting to pick up, I should say. I'm not saying it's outrageous. It's picked up, plus we got the short inferences. I guess I'm going to try to see if I can scratch out something closer to this 360 to 365 on the March corn to pick up some more sales there and get closer to 50%. I was like 40. I'm trying to see if this thing can get some emotion going, and as we go longer term in this thing, because I really do think that corn is going to be less this spring and beans are going to be slightly higher, but how much? Not as much as I thought.
And Sherman Newland, your thoughts?
Corn-wise, I'm no hurry to do anything right here. I mean, it's under cost of production for a lot of guys. I want to wait and see, see if we can get that 20-cent rally. If guys need to sell something in through here, you may take a look at re-owning it. Either buying the board or buying some calls or doing some call spreads or something like that. Options are pretty cheap if you're forced to have to sell something right here. But I'd like to see if, we could get some bounces going into the corn market. New crop corn, You know, we got orders in the $3.90 to $4 range on futures. So just sitting there and seeing if we can get picked off. I think those goals are still obtainable here at this point in time. I do think corn acres, you know, like we talked about earlier, could be a little bit less than what the trade's anticipating right now. With that said, I think a lot of that will go towards beans. I think I would be, you know, looking at doing some new crop beans on the board or cash prices, depending on where you can get good basis, in that $9.90 to $10, $10.10 range, if we could happen to get that far. I'm not sure we can, but anything is possible with that. And old crop beans, it would be nice to get back up in that 970, 980 board price and then just see wherever your basis is at and probably take a look at, you know, getting rid of some more old crop beans if you need to. You know, you're just going to have to watch the weather. In South America, I don't think we're going to export ourselves out of this problem here right at the moment for beans.
That was my next question was, now we've had this out of the way, it usually sets the tone for at least until we get to the end of the March and the acreage numbers, but weather in South America, it seems, Sherman, will be the driving force for the next several weeks. Is that the case?
I think it will be. And then, like I said, we had the nice technical reversal today. I'm still going back to some of the outside markets maybe helping, you know, lift the commodities in general higher. I mean, some are saying this 2018 is the year that maybe the grains and everything else can start to catch up with some of the other commodities. I mean, like I mentioned earlier, gold, crude, lumber, cotton, you know, they're all, you know, going up. Everything is except what we have to have to sell around here anyway.
Let's get a final word from each of you. We'll start with you, Jerry Goodell of Price Futures Group.
Well, I think that today's reports turned out to be a lot less onerous than people were looking for in the corn and the soybeans. Definitely kind of a surprise on the wheat side, but I think conditions on the wheat at this point west of the Mississippi, if you look at that drought monitor right now, not very pretty. And so what kind of harvested numbers we have out of that area is going to be, I think, significant. I agree with the person earlier talking about spring wheat's going to pick up a lot of some acres up in the northern plains and that. I guess it's going to be real interesting here as to how people start to perceive this weather in Argentina. Really haven't had all that great of moisture here over the last month or so. From there, it's been always going to be around the corner for us, and that hopefully it does come for them. But in the same case, I look for that to be a positive for us as we look to, longer term. At this point, at least, batten down the hatches. It's a La Nina winter here, and it's cold.
Hey, Jim McCormick, your final word, and make it short for me, please.
I would say, you know, producers, work your books, know where your numbers are, and when you get opportunity this year, things are tight, try to use the markets to get some grain forward sold. A lot of guys got caught short last year, not getting enough grain sold, so take advantage of it, and then use the board options to re-owner if you want to play the drier summer that some people are going to try to play up, no doubt.
And Sherman Newland.
Yeah, I was going to say, don't get too down after today's move. It wasn't a big sell-off. I mean, wheat was disappointing again, but, beans had a nice day. So just watch the markets, sell when you get some good opportunities and work your budgets and look at forward pricing some new crop when we get some good opportunities.
That's Sherman Newland. He's with Risk Management Commodities out of Hudsonville, Illinois, and was joined by Jerry Goodell of Price Futures Group out of Chicago and Jim McCormick of Allendale from McHenry, Illinois on this January 12 edition of Commodity Week. You can, of course, hear the whole of our program anytime you'd like on our website at willag.org. That's willag.org.